Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with joy. They've now joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only, Mark Unger.
It's like living with a six-year-old.
Joining me, as always, is the charming and delightful, the lovely, effervescent.
Effervescent?
Fabulous, marvelous, Diane Briley. And, of course, the incomparable Ross Allen Skorzewski.
You're in a lot of trouble, mister.
Together we make...
And remember, wherever there is injustice, you will find us.
Wherever there is suffering, we'll be there.
Wherever liberty is threatened, you will find...
The Three Amigos!
Why do we do it?
Our reward is that justice has been done.
The show is engineered by Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, trying to stay awake during this incomprehensibly boring show. This is the show that handles all of your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markunger.com. This is our final show with our guests, Thomas and his mom, Belle Ann, sitting in on the productions of these shows. We've been having a fabulous time. Thanks for coming in. Spending the day with us.
Thank you for having
y'all
us.
Crazy people. Y'all crazy people.
They survived.
They did.
They made it to the final hour.
As if Belle Ann wasn't traumatized enough for the first experience, she was crazy enough to want to be in on it again. We're glad that you did spend the day with us. If you would ever like to sit in on a taping of the Mark Unger Show, you can contact us at the Mark Unger Show and let us know when we can all work it up. That would be fun. If you're crazy enough to come, we're crazy enough to let you come. Just remember, don't bring any weapons. Stay calm.
We'll supply you with them when you're here.
So now we're moving from cigars to weapons.
Well, you never know. Crazy people might show up with guns or something.
The Branch
Davidians. I'm afraid that's going to happen one day.
Well,
seriously.
I hope not.
The Branch Davidians
You'll
gave guns to
off.
Their people. Why can't we give guns
and
to
you know
ours,
the
Gungorians, the faithful?
And you know how the Wackos and Waco ended up, don't
we
you?
We get them in this compound and then we just keep
I
them here.
I don't want to end the same way. Count me out. Count me out. Yeah.
That's there right. Timothy Robert Ray. We should put up a big sign. You're entering the office of Timothy Robert Ray. And that way they'll be on guard. Don't mess with us. Don't mess with us. Anyway, this show is the show. Let me tell you how the show works. For those of you listening, fairly new to the program, you get to send us any email and be totally anonymous. We, in return, are brutally honest. This is not a show for your self-esteem. Don't boo-hoo. If you listen to this show and we say something about your email, you're like, oh, they're terrible people. Oh, quiet, for heaven's sakes.
I'm actually quite surprised when people email in and say that they liked our answers.
Actually, we get a lot. You know,
I assume
everybody's going to be mad, but they're not all mad.
No,
but
not.
I think most people listen to the show. They get it. Mm-hmm. They understand the context. This is not your typical Focus on the Family program. Why don't you do it that way? Because we don't want to. Because I'd be bored to tears. Not that they're not great. I love those guys. They're friends of mine. I like them.
Just not what you want
if you
to do.
Like to do that, listen to them.
Friends?
They're all bigger than us. Friends, I don't know. We're not cigar-smoking friends.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But we are friends. I wonder how many of those guys smoke cigars. They probably would never admit it.
No.
Because, you know, Christians, we don't admit that we do any of these things because we're holy.
Except you.
We're so holy. We're holy, holy. Well, I'm so holy, everything falls out.
It's all spilling out all over the floor.
Spilling out because I got holes all over the place. So, anyway. Okay.
Okay, speaking of Friends,
yes.
A listener sent this little article in from Fox News about the TV show Friends. He says, is it any wonder that our country is in the sexual state that it is? With this as an example, turns out the Friends had a lot of special friends. So they actually went through the 10 years of the Friends episodes and found out that the cast had a total of 85 sexual partners. During the 10-year run of the show.
Are you kidding me?
This is a statement about what, I mean, for 10 years, this is what people watched as the norm.
Different people all the time?
A survey of all 230.
Who has sex with 80 different people?
Well, it was amongst all of them.
Well, there's only four of them, or five. How many were there?
There were six.
Oh, well, that makes a difference. Okay, wait a minute. That's fine. I'm sorry.
Six people. I overreacted. Total of 85.
Hey. Five people screwing 85 people. That would have been outlined.
That's 10 each for sure.
There's some people that have 85 all by themselves, so they're young.
Well, I'm sure they do. This is over the last 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years of the episodes of Friends.
How do they know this?
Because somebody went through all of the episodes of Friends and did the count. The six characters had a total of 85 sexual partners.
Oh, this is on the show. I thought you were saying they actually screwed 85 different people.
Oh,
you set that up wrong.
No, how many people?
First of all, how do they know when people are screwing?
No, the cast.
Hey, how's it doing, Bob?
During the 10 years of all the shows, they went through the episodes.
How's your night?
I'm sorry, that's what you're thinking.
It's going to work, hey. 24, number 24.
No.
Oh, yeah, it's nothing. I got number 25 last night.
The characters of the show.
So that's the morality that they're setting for.
That's the point that the guy who sent the email in, the email in with the article was trying to make. No wonder the country, when this is the role models, this is what people are watching and taking in.
Each one of them screwed 14 people.
Well, no, Joey actually racked up 17.
Oh.
About the blonde ditzy person?
Phoebe had 16, and Ross had 16.
My boy!
Rachel had 14.
Who is the black-haired Courtney?
Courtney Cox had, her character Monica had 13, and the prude, that's what they call it, the prude of the bunch was Chandler, who only had 9. In 10 years. 9 partners in 10 years
now,
of the show.
Now, did Chandler and Courtney Love, whatever her name was, did they hook
up?
Not
Courtney Love, Courtney Cox. Courtney Love is somebody different.
That blondie, whack job. So, but on the series,
they
Chandler
did end up married at the
and
end.
And what's her face?
Chandler and Monica ended up married at the end of the Friends, yep.
And you guys...
For real or on the show?
On the show.
Okay.
Were you a fan of this?
Friends,
no,
did you ever
no.
watch it? I did for a couple seasons.
Well, because of that
way
stuff.
Back when it first came on.
Seinfeld was no different.
When I was not a Christian, I watched it. When it was on.
Yeah, Seinfeld was different. It wasn't bad, right? But I mean, it wasn't as bad.
Right. Friends was worse.
Friends was just constantly, screw this, screw that.
Especially
screw this.
Joey and the porn.
Oh,
and this and
holy
that.
Cow.
The cat just
came
in.
I thought someone was just rubbing my thigh.
The cat just came in.
It's because the door's open because it's hot in here.
Sorry, that really freaked me out. Thomas, we were about to have a talk.
Thomas, man, don't be rubbing his legs, brother. You're getting married soon enough. Just calm down. You'll be fine.
Anyway, this is pretty much what a lot of these TV shows and these serials and all of this do. It's just this nonstop, this one in bed with that one, and then they switch and they're in bed with the next one and the next one and the next one. So is it any wonder, hey, Tim the cat rescuer. See, he's a cat rescuer.
Any wonder I've got too much.
He's taking him out.
He's not coming
he's
back.
He's taking him
Timothy
out.
Timothy Robert Ray just took the cat.
He's practicing animals.
He'll never see the cat.
Before he begins his career.
I don't know what happened to the cat.
He's starting on animals before he moves on to human beings.
I don't know what happened to that cute little kitty. Anyhow, this is a sad commentary on the morality
and what these lack thereof.
But even like those shows on ABC Family, and they're supposed to be family. They're always showing all of these kids with the boyfriends. And I mean, I don't watch the shows, but I just see the advertisements. And they're not family shows, by the way. It's like Secret Life of the American Teenager and all these things that they advertise. Have you ever seen any of those?
No,
I've never seen them.
Oh.
We're old.
It's like Friends, but you know, geared for family, supposed family viewing. It's a little bit ridiculous.
And make no mistake, we live in a world that does not share our values.
No, it does not.
And that's a challenge, raising a family in the midst of a world. Mm-hmm. With the wrong values, you know. The good news is that if parents will engage their kids, children overwhelmingly will adopt the values of their of their parents. Not all, but if you do it right, a high percentage, extremely high percentage, You know, but you got to engage the kid and talk. Again, we talked about this the other day, where in the early years, the parent needs to be absolutely a filter. But right. in the later years, it's we not so much filters, talking through and walking them through it, you know. I need to talk about that in church, actually, because I just got up and told everybody, I don't want your kids to watch this nonsense.
Yeah.
This will be a great opportunity to go back and say, look, I said right. your kids, but I'm talking your little kids.
Little kids.
Like my son.
When you get, you know, 16, six. Come on.
16, 13, some of
these,
man.
Some of these shows, you know, because there are a lot of good, now this one, Paul one, is so, because of cursing right. so bad, and the attack on Christianity is so bad. Even older ones, but even I'd almost intentionally take a 17-year-old to that
to see it, just so you could talk about it,
just yep. so you talk it through, because that's the world they're going to enter.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
why exactly not enter right. with them? So you see this and you see that, and you know you can laugh at the funny parts though, but you see the way they reacted and mm-hmm. talk them through it, get them a chance, because the minute you dump them out in the world and they've had no experience with any
that's
of that
the problem
stuff,
when they shelter and filter
you shelter
everything.
So much, but by the time they hit the world, they're overwhelmed mm-hmm. and they're not prepared. So part of preparing your kid, I think, is to, you know, obviously you're not going to take them to porn flicks or to, you know,
well,
something
let's hope
else.
Not, although there are people who do parents, that.
I know they're so stupid.
They do it.
But there's, you know, there are a lot of movies. They're good movies, but there's objectionable stuff yes. in the movies.
Yes.
Objectionable enough that you wouldn't show it to smaller children. But the old one, yeah, you can show it, but talk them through it. So what do you think about this? You know? We got, what was that one movie I talked about before? It's Ashton Kutcher.
The Guardian.
Ashton. Anyway, so he's...
The Guardian with Kevin Costner.
So... It's actually a great movie about sacrifice and giving your life for others. It's really great. But Ashton Kutcher meets this chick, and in 10 minutes, he's screwing her brains out.
Yeah.
You know, so they're screwing each other. And then at one point, after screwing her brains out, God knows how many times, he says, can we do dinner sometime? And she says, I don't know that I'm ready to be that intimate. Are you kidding me?
Can't make that kind of a commitment.
So you can be naked. Naked is not intimate. Having sex is not intimate. Going to dinner. Oh, my God, we can't do that. And we're not... Talk about a time to talk to your kids. It's a good move. When you see something like that, stop. Or talk to them after. Say, now, did you notice that she thought having dinner was too intimate, but sex was... I mean, you see how crazy people are?
I've done that so much with my kids. They're like, yeah, Mom. I know. This is the right answer. And they tell me...
I know, but
they speed up the conversation. I'm like, I know, but we have to talk about this. If I wasn't talking,
you're setting them up to succeed, though, by doing that.
I'm like, yeah. I wouldn't be doing my job as a mom if I didn't. I said, I know, but let's just talk about it, and then quick, we'll go back on to the movie. But they get tired of me.
Well, my parents never talked to me about anything.
Mine didn't either, and look what happened.
What happened to me? Good grief. El Perverto. The Magnificent.
Perverto.
El Perverto, the Gigantico.
Really?
The Gigantico Perverto. Oh, you can meet my brothers. We were hellions, man.
Why?
We were so bad. Oh my God. I got saved at 16. It's amazing how much of a hellion I was by the time I got saved.
Well, I concur.
Well, try being until you're 30.
Huh?
Try being 30 something when you finally get saved.
Yeah.
That's
I'm sure.
Worse yet.
But most of us that were down that thing will admit we had parents that were clueless.
Well, I told you about
they never
my
told
parents.
Us much about anything. Yeah. They don't they didn't know how to live life, and then see, it just gets compounded. You have one set of parents that don't know how to live life to the next kids that don't know how to live life, and they have kids, and they don't know how to live life.
And somebody's got to get a clue.
At some point, it's just completely...
If I hadn't gotten saved, I wouldn't have had a clue. I mean, I would probably be raising kids that were just like me. It was only because I got saved.
I'm sure. That's what we do.
It's only because of it. They'd be just like I was. And
because
off
if you
the
do... I mean, a lot
and,
of parents, man, they live vicariously through their kids. Mm-hmm. They get a kick out of their kids screwing around mm-hmm. and getting laid and... Seduce, you know, fathers will talk to their sons about, yeah, me, score is great,
I know.
Man. You
know,
yep.
Your nope. father, I can't imagine a father that's celebrating you screwing some girl on a date.
Yet they do.
Can you imagine how much I mess your head
you
up?
You gotta get what you can get.
Talking with the boys, yeah, my boy, yeah, that's right, he had three of them last month.
Yeah. That's fabulous, that's just great, you know. So it is what it is, but from a Christian worldview, I'm big on the filtering, but what I think people don't get is that you need to start walking them through real life. You know, depends on what you're comfortable with, but 50, for sure 16.
The thing that's 16, so
17,
hard
18,
for people.
You need to start sitting, and you'll go to some movies, and you know the movie's got some parts in it that you just, And you talk them through it, or you fast forward it and say, yeah,
it's
but
very hard
still
for people to talk about it. I have found that in so many people talking to me, how do you talk to your kids? What do you say? For me, because this is what I do and this is what I've done for almost nine years now.
Well, it's easier for us because we do this.
It's very easy, but it's very difficult for other people.
Some people talk so much they actually are on the radio every day.
That's right.
That would be big mouths like us, okay? But even other normal people,
they have a hard time talking to their
kids. Are very abnormal. That's why sometimes just ask them, what do you think about that? Get them talking. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Did you notice the way she said she didn't want to have
dinner with him, but
dinner
because
she thought that was too intimate?
Yep.
Yeah. You think it's kind of weird? Well, not really. I said, but
really?
You know she's already having sex with the guy? Which do you think is more intimate, dinner or sex?
See, that's the only thing you have to do is ask questions.
Yeah, you don't
get them talking.
You don't have to go into a great big, long things. So anyway, that's all I got to say about that. All right, we're going to take a break. And we'll come back with more of your emails right after this.
Finally, marriage advice that's direct, honest, and to the point. This is The Mark Gunger Show on markgunger.com.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now, lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just $20 in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again. Me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save. Feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
1 hour a day of Mark, not enough? Why not take him with you? Each of Mark's audio CD series are at least 4 hours of Bible teaching, laughing, and learning that you can listen to wherever you are, at work, in your car, or at home. Topics include men and women.
We live in a culture that's completely clueless and believes in all kinds of nonsense. You need to know something. The key to a successful marriage is not finding the right person. It's doing the right thing.
Family issues.
Men need to be involved with their children. Children need the challenge and the risk that men offer to them.
And even verse-by-verse Bible studies. All with Mark Gunger's humor and sometimes outrageous take on the subject at hand. To see all of the series available and order your copy today, log on to laughyourway.com or call 866-52-LAUGH. Order now at laughyourway.com.
Like a fool, I went and stayed too long.
Do, 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 do.
I'm wondering if your love's still strong.
Ooh, baby, here I am, sound still delivered.
I'm yours, here on the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love. Just found out from our guest, Thomas.
This is not good.
Engaged. That his fiance.
Like, please don't, 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 please don't.
His fiance doesn't like me.
Can't imagine that.
Yeah, I can't imagine
somebody
not liking
you.
Me.
Does she like Diane?
I don't know. She's not a big fan of the show. I think that she would agree with what you're saying. It's just the way that you communicate.
How we say it.
She's probably a normal girl.
Yes. Yeah.
She's probably not psycho crazy. And she's nice.
She's probably thinking if her grandpa talked like that, it'd completely freak her out.
Why can't they say it in a nice way? Why can't they just settle down and behave
themselves?
She's going
to like say Peta, I'm Machina, and stuff like that.
Like, just
I'm
say
not
it
saying how she talks. I'm sorry.
See? Thomas said if we would
see,
just
see, I'm definitely
down.
Not getting an invitation to the wedding now.
No, probably not.
So that whole thing with the people and the pictures and keep these folks out, that's really true.
That's really true.
We were joking, and it was true.
Oh, you know, gracious. It's hard to imagine, but there are people who don't like me.
I know.
This is why your humidor is still full.
That's why, because I don't have any friends.
It's even harder to imagine there are people who don't like me.
You know, actually, my son tries to reason with me.
I know he does.
Which is an exercise in futility. Mm-hmm. He says, Dad, you know, if you could just change your show a little bit.
Just tone it down.
Tone it down. We might be able to get you on some Christian radio stations. Well, first of all, I think he's being very optimistic. even in a toned down version of this, they're not going to let you out. You can't say anything on a Christian radio station. Yeah. As long as each show, we just quoted the same verses that all, you know, evangelists quote, all six of them, over and over and over again, and just prayed for people, and someone writes and says, you know, I'm having sex with my boyfriend, but we really love Jesus, and we say, you know, it's great that you really love Jesus, and let's pray together with you that, you know, God will make, you know, I don't even want to do a show like that. I don't want to do that. I like doing this show.
And then you get the likes of us two ding-dongs in here with you. It's never going
to
tone down.
I get to
down.
Be me. How
if you want to tone it down, you have to get somebody different
just,
besides
I'm
Ross.
I'm just saying, there are people, they really like that very restrained,
I know they
very
do.
Proper. My wife.
My husband.
Hates your show?
I don't know if she hates it, but I don't think she'd listen to it. She wouldn't listen to it.
My husband won't listen to it anymore. Yeah. At first, it was a novelty, and then as we got cranked up and more comfortable with each other, he doesn't listen to it anymore. Yeah. He doesn't like it.
They don't like this thing. Mm-mm. We're not everybody's...
He doesn't see why we have to be so unrestrained.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with the fact that not everybody approves of everything I do. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know what it's like to, and I know guys like this, they become pastors, and they spend their entire lives trying to be something that they're not. They spend their whole life in fear of what everybody else says. Mm-hmm. And they have to act a certain way because someone might think something, and they have to be careful about this. And their whole existences, I've seen guys like this. I remember as a young guy, I was with this pastor. First time I ever saw it. Wasn't a Christian very long. He was a great guy. I mean, laughing and down to earth and stuff like that. The minute he got into the pulpit, he says, I just want to thank God this morning for moving by his spirit, and so glad that you've all joined here in the spirit of the Lord. And he's my brother and I start giggling on the front row.
We thought he was joking?
We think he's screwing around. I think he's being really a comedian. I'm waiting for the punchline, right? And he never let up. And I thought, oh my gosh.
Person A, person Tony. A.
He does this constantly.
So whenever that has to be exhausting.
I would hate to live like you're constantly having, you know, da 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 da. Now look, I know there's lots of pastors who act and talk and think like me in private. Tons of them. I know these. I spend time with these guys, but they would never, ever, 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 no. ever, 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 ever do it in public.
Right.
Okay. I don't have that filter. Okay. I just don't. I don't want to be that guy. And if that means that. You know, I'll only have 10,000 people listening to me instead of 110,000.
You're good with
honestly,
that.
Honestly, I'm good with that. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be, you know, like I said, I know friends, you know, even guys focused on the family. They're great guys mm-hmm. and stuff like that, but they can't say what they really think.
No.
Not really. I mean, they have to find ways, acceptable ways to say what they think. They can't just talk to you the way they would talk to me. And which is fine. I mean, God bless them, and they're touching a lot more people than I am. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it. But I just, at the end of the day, I don't want to be that guy. I just don't, you know? At this point in my life, I don't know, maybe a part of the reason talk about a late bloomer, you know? I'm in my 50s, and it's the first time anybody in the world's ever cared what I had to say about anything. You know, maybe if I would have started in my 20s and people did kind of take me semi-seriously and I knew that if I had to talk a certain way, I'd learn all the rules.
Sure. You might have.
You know, I might have morphed into that guy. I don't know.
Not anymore.
So you're saying I'm doomed?
No. I'm just, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I mean, I get it, but I just don't, you know.
No,
I'm
good.
Comfortable.
Yeah,
I really.
But when you're good with who you are,
I mean, I'm always kidding around, you know. Yeah. I love,
but
myself
you are very like comfortable with who you are, and it doesn't matter if everybody likes you.
Yeah, it just really doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
Listen to me. I would have never started doing Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage if I would have listened to mm-hmm. the people around me. Because when I started this 10 years ago, you have to understand our Christian culture has changed a lot in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. It sure has,
for the better, I think, and I think only out of frustration because we're failing so badly. That what we've done is we've learned that the template that everybody's stuck on us, that Christians have to act and talk and think this way, was just proven to be an abysmal failure. Mm-hmm. So the guy like me comes on. When I first started doing this, I got some serious blowback. You can't talk about wieners in church. You can't talk about sex and vaginas. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, and laughing. And you can't. You're talking about people's brains and oh, you can't do that. You can't make fun of me.
You're a pastor. You can't.
Oh, I'm telling you.
I know.
And I'll tell you what. You know what really changed it? Wasn't the pastors. The pastors were always scared to death of me. Not so much anymore. We got a new breed of pastors now, I think, that are much more real.
At least some of them.
Much more down to earth. But the first group that I ran up against, they were just as anal as the day is long and freaking out about everything. It was not the pastors of the Christian community that I was exposed to that why I started doing what I do today. It was the people.
Because the people loved it.
The people loved it. And I'd watch the pastor. They would look at me like in horror and turn to their people waiting for, you know, the pitchforks and stuff to come out.
Is it okay?
And look, oh, you could see, you know, I had no respect for those guys.
I could see the survey being taken.
Yeah, yeah. He just turns around, they're just survey takers. He said, oh, what does people think about that joke? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't get that anymore, thankfully. Because again, I just think there's a new generation of pastors that are younger guys and they're not so dorky anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you would never have done what I do. You never would do what I do. You know how many guys out there do what I do? Have you noticed?
Not very many.
It's a pretty small list. Yeah. In fact, I'm the only one I know that does what I do. Okay? Even guys, edgy guys like Brad Stein and stuff, you know, he comes up here and he just, man, you can really say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
know? And I'm not edgy for the sake of edgy. This is the way I talk. It's how normal people talk. Mm-hmm. It's the way he and everybody else talks when nobody else is listening. But as soon as we get in church, all of a sudden we got to be different. And I don't do that very well. And I just want to be me. And this will help some people and it will appall others. The other thing, too, is a lot of people are, we live in a world that's very peace motivated. Most mm-hmm. people in the world just want everybody to get along.
Yes.
So a show like us where we're very edgy in people's faces, see, my wife's just very, she would never say, you know, oh, you're being a slutty grandma. Oh, my gosh, how can you say that
well,
to people?
You would never say that face-to-face and with
that's
anybody
the other
either.
Thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the other thing about this show. No one would do this to your face. No. I would never be this mean to anyone's face. No. The whole premise of this show is we don't know who you are.
No, I don't speak this strongly when I'm talking to someone.
But when you talk, see, here's the show, okay? This show, you know how you talk when it's just you and your friends?
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about something, and nobody in the world can hear you. That's what this show is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What you're hearing is what we would say.
Yeah. If we were just sitting at lunch, because it's the same thing.
Talking about this, when you email us, you get a chance to hear us talking about you when you're not here.
Yeah.
But
that's exactly right.
You get to hear it. Okay.
You're the fly on the wall.
Oh my gosh, we got this email. This lady said, la, 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 and we just go off, and it's just what we would say if we were just sitting around together.
Oh, I promise you, a lot of people my wife would have the same reaction we have on the show.
Yeah.
She's doing what?
Yeah.
The lady who says, you know, I go over to my boyfriend's house and the family's naked. What should I do? Well, everybody would go, oh my gosh. I wish even your fiance go, oh my gosh, I can't believe you go over to naked people, you know. But you would talk to them face to face. You wouldn't be so harsh. You'd be much more sensitive. And I think for some people listening to this show, they get uncomfortable with the fact that we are so strong. But remember, as we always start the show, they're completely anonymous. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows. This is a show unlike any other show in the world that I'm aware of, where you get to call in and you will get to hear totally unrestrained, sometimes very funny, sometimes borderline mean,
mm-hmm.
but you get to hear what we think. It's the premise of the show.
If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Now, when a woman is stressed out, she has to talk about it. If she doesn't talk about it, her brain will literally explode.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
She's a pastor's wife and a jail chaplain. The Debbie Chavez Show.
My delight now to re-welcome to our program the author of that best-selling book, The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
The Debbie Chavez Show.
Best-selling author, Stormy O'Mardian.
Hi, Debbie.
The Debbie Chavez Show.
And so what I've learned from so many of my guests, and what I've learned from my life experience of trial and error, is that we have an enemy of our souls, that would be the devil, who loves to lie to us, and we buy the lies. He's the one that whispers in your ear, you know, all guys watch pornography. It's normal. It'll be okay. It's not hurting anybody. Or maybe the enemy whispers into your ear, you really need to eat that chocolate cake. You really need to have that order of french fries. Just drive through the drive-thru at McDonald's. It'll make you so happy. You've had a rough day. It's a big, fat, stinking lie. Let's be smart here and examine the thoughts that we entertain in our minds. Is that thought really from God, or is it from the enemy? And if it's from the enemy, kick it out.
The Debbie Chavez Show, streaming daily at faithplace.org.
Bringing out the free in me. What you do to my heart just makes me melt. And I don't think I can resist. But I've never been one to kiss and tell. A love this true can't be subdued. So I'm gonna let out it, yeah. I'm gonna stand on a rooftop, climb up a mountaintop, baby, scream and shout. I wanna sing it on the radio, show it on a video, baby, leave no doubt. I want the whole world to know.
World to know.
We love to love you out loud. Everything we do is out loud here on the Mark Gunger Show because we're just loud. We're loud people. And we don't do things loud. Talking about the way we do things different than other people. Mm-hmm. And I'm comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
I just always have been. I mean, I was told by so many people when I started to laugh your way, you can't do that.
And you prove that 10 years later you're wrong.
You cannot. They're telling me you cannot do that. If you keep doing this, churches won't have you come. I was at a big conference for speakers.
The Speakers Bureau thing.
And the guys told me, he says, no one will ever have you come back to the church. The church will never have you. You know, and I was hilarious about
now,
that.
Now, there are some places that probably won't.
Oh, I'm sure there were. But I promise you, I go to a lot more places than that guy does. I bet you I generate a lot more money than that guy ever will in his life out speaking and doing what we do. But, you know, it's not for everybody. I get it.
That's right.
But this thing of trying to homogenize everybody so we all look the same and feel the same. And
you can't be all things to all men.
I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. Okay, I got a brother, my brother Ed, mm-hmm. who's very, very brilliant. Okay?
I love Eddie.
And we had him on the show once.
Mm-hmm.
He was incomprehensibly boring.
Well, he did it more like what everybody else would do.
And he was very thoughtful.
Where was I?
No, it wasn't before you.
It
was during the Chavez
era. Mm-hmm. And it was, and just, you know, and, you know, they'd read an email and it says, well, if I would do and blah, blah, blah. And I finally come around and say, oh, she's just crazy. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's just me. That's the way I respond. Now, if you like that kind of stuff, that's interesting. My brother doesn't have his own show. No. But I mean, it's just some people want to hear it that way. Some don't. You know, and here's the other thing. I never felt threatened and I still don't feel threatened because when they told me and said, dude, if you do laugh your way, if you talk about sex the way you talk, if you be that, making people laugh
but
and be
funny,
that irreverent, nobody will have you come. My response was, okay.
You were good with that.
I don't care. You know, if nobody has me come, I will just pass. In fact, when I went to Stevens Point, where I first met you, I'd only been there for a little while and I'd done like a few laugh your way things. And I made the decision, I said, I'm going to stop doing laugh your way.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it just wasn't worth the hassle.
And everybody was telling you couldn't do what you were doing.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
So you
blah.
Were going to just pastor us.
So I was just going to pastor because I like pastoring. I do. So I was just going to focus on that as soon as, and at the time we were struggling with laughter anyway. The minute I decided I'm not going to do this anymore, it went crazy.
Yep.
All of a sudden, we're in Appleton. The place is packed out. You can't get another soul in the building. They're wrapping around the building in line for stuff. I mean, and I'm thinking, really? To see me? How odd is this? Because I, you know, because I made the commitment. We're going to finish these last three events, and then we're going to stop. So I do the first one. It's packed out to the walls. I said, what the heck? So we do the next event. It, too, was packed. They ran out of chairs in the building that we were renting
There were so many people in there. So we got people who paid money to come hear me ramble standing. Standing. I mean, I like me, but I wouldn't stand to listen to me. I'm not going to pay you so I can stand in the back of the room. God grieve, I'm too much of a girly man for that. I'd get out of there. People are standing listening to me. And I'm going, man, what the heck? And the next place, hundreds of people. This is in Illinois, just 600 people. I'm thinking, really? To listen to
so
me?
So then it's like, well, maybe so I thought, you got to keep doing it.
Okay. And then a few months later, a man calls me up, a businessman, who says, what would you do if you had millions of dollars to do what you wanted to do? And I said, well, I do A, B, C, D, E. And he says, well, I believe what you're doing. I'm going to do that. So he comes in, and he back. I mean, this is how my ministry went from zero to whatever. Okay, now that was years ago, and we don't have those anymore.
No.
We actually have to earn our own money now. But I'm back in the day. I mean, literally had someone. What would you? Can you imagine someone calling you up and saying, I will give you X millions of dollars to go and do your dream?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I'm going to stop doing this. All of a sudden, all my conferences start filling up. And this guy calls me up and said, if you'll do this, I'll back you and help you go as far as you can on this amount of money. He even told me exactly how much, and he did. That amount. And I'm like, really? And that's how Laugh Your Way. So that's when we actually started calling it Laugh Your Way. It's when now, stop and think about this. This man had never heard me speak.
No, he didn't.
And to this day, he has never actually been at one of my conferences.
He's never heard the whole thing.
No. He came one time to hear a small part of it in Dallas or wherever it was. But that's it. You can't make this stuff up. You know? And I said, well, if God's going to bless us, that's why we just keep doing what we're doing. So, I mean, if nobody wants to do this anymore, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I'll just pastor. You can go back to pastoring.
And the people in the church, because I got the same thing from churches. You can't pastor like that. Then you got that end of it. You know? That's what I got when I first came to Green Bay.
You can't do it.
You're up there
way.
Acting like a clown. I said, I'm not acting.
I'm a clown.
Okay, you guys spent the whole day. Am I much different on microphone or off microphone?
No.
It's pretty consistent,
pretty
right?
The same.
This is just me. Now what's funny is like if you know my brother Ed, we were just talking about.
Yeah.
He's different. Crazier than I am.
Yeah.
In off microphone, he's like a pet squirrel, this guy. He's crazy. He's bouncing off the walls. I'm the straight guy around Eddie. Because Eddie's like nuts. And he's laughing and screwing up. But as soon as the mic comes on, boom. He turns into it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Look, he likes being that way. He likes to be much more. I'm not saying that he's phony. I'm just saying he approaches things differently than me. The one thing, what you see is what you get. I really am this way pretty much all the time. Okay. Unless I'm tired, then I'm quiet.
Yeah.
After I've done a seminar or something, I tend to be pretty quiet and people think I'm mad or something. I'm not mad. I'm exhausted. I've been talking for 6 hours for good grief. But so it is. So, I mean, if people got mad and didn't want to hear me pastoring anymore, I'm okay with that. Before I did that, I was a music producer and a video producer. I would probably go back to doing that. I don't live in fear. I refuse to live in fear. I'm not going to live in fear. Gee, what if churches don't like me at Laugh Your Way anymore? And I don't care. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to live in fear. If you do your radio show that way, we won't listen. I'm okay with that. I don't care. Not care like I'm not compassionate about people. Everything I do is because I want to help people.
Right.
But I don't care about if it doesn't work, then I just move on.
It's not the approval.
You can't pastor like that. You can't preach like that. You can't talk about things like that in the pulpit. Okay, then I just won't pastor. I mean, I'm not saying that whiny. I'm just saying I'm comfortable. I really am.
You're good. I know you are.
I am really good. Is if we don't do Left Your Way anymore, I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. And if I can't pastor anymore, I'm good with that. Or if I can't, if one or the other fine, and if they both belly up, you know what? I'm good with that. I'll find something else and just do it the best that I can and... You know, I haven't spent my whole life trying to be something that I'm not. So I don't know why it triggered all because of hearing his girlfriend doesn't like me. You know, but I'm just saying, you know, a lot of people don't like this. This isn't for everybody. Having said that, there are a lot of people in the world who this is a refreshing
they like it.
Breath of air to them. Someone who talks the way they talk.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who thinks the way they think. Someone who verbalizes the way they wish they could sometimes verbalize things. Someone who appreciates, you know. So that's those are the people. And if that's just a small part of the world that God lets me touch, I'm good with that. It's not everybody. Not everybody's called to be obnoxious like I am.
No.
Okay? Some people, you know, they just don't do it very well. I may not do it very well, but...
But you have your following. You have your audience. You have people that... A lot of people we hear from that what you do and how you do it has made a great difference.
And I hear that all the time. And marriages that we've saved and divorces that we've averted. And I know of people who've contacted me. I've met in person.
Yeah.
I met a lady once who wasn't even a Christian. So I want you to know something. I had just gotten divorced and I saw your DVD and my husband and my ex-husband and I sat and watched it. Why you'd watch Against Sun with your ex-husband?
Yeah,
I don't get
that's
that.
That's kind of weird.
And it so touched us, we got married again. And she says, I'm married today. I got married a few months ago and that happened because I saw your DVD. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we hear that all the time,
yep.
You know? So some people celebrate it and some people curse it, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, Jesus talks about this. John the Baptist came. He was a loner. He didn't eat or drink. He didn't drink any wine. He just ate locusts. And then Jesus came, and he drank wine, despite what you heard from your Baptist church or mm-hmm. somebody God church. You know, it wasn't grape juice, for heaven's sakes, people. They accuse him of being a drunkard. How do you accuse someone of being a drunkard who drinks grape juice, for heaven's sakes? Mm-hmm. So, and then Jesus pointed out, he says, you know, John the Baptist came to you, neither eating or drinking, and you said he was crazy. Then I come to you and I'm eating and drinking and you call me a glutton and a drunkard. What he said is you can't win with you people.
No.
I mean, you just can't, you know, at the end of the day.
If you don't.
And if you look at different men of God in the Bible, they weren't all the same.
Nope.
There were those that had a lot of charisma and appealed to a lot of people. There's others that were just nuttier and all get out. It seems, you know, you're some of those Old Testament prophets. These guys are strange ducks, man, you know. But God uses different people. If anything, be encouraged, man. You know, be who you are and leave the rest to God.
Well, I know even personally in my life, the impact that you and Deb have had for 9 years of knowing you and working for you and having you be the pastor of our church, I don't know that would have happened with somebody else because I had such bad experiences with Christians and didn't want anything to do with it. And knowing you and your family and everybody that I know that is very real and very funny, I think that that enabled me to get over the stuff that didn't sit too well with me about churches all of the other years previous. And I'm not sure that I would be who I am if I had found some other pastor or some other church.
And that's great. I mean, I celebrate that. But equally, I know there's people who can't stand me.
That's I know there are.
They just cannot stand me. They came to my church at one point. They just think I'm horrible.
They don't like him.
I don't like the way you preach. I don't like the way you're goofing around. I don't like this. I don't like that. You know, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. The good news is we're not in communist country where you have to come to just one. They go to a different church. I have all kinds of people who used to come to my church.
Yeah, there are many used to attends. That's true.
But at the same time, we still reach thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody's going to. And I don't ever want to live the kind of life where I'm desperate to try and be something that can be approved of by everybody.
No. You don't want that.
There you have it.
Okay, so speaking of, here is comments of how you have actually helped somebody. She says, I have really been enjoying listening to your show lately. I've been able to listen to archives all day at work. Lucky girl, what kind of job do you have?
Seriously, how do you get anything done?
The show has been really helping me a lot with my thinking that needed a lot of changing. I have about 50 questions that I would like to ask, but I want to pace myself and also try not to be too annoying. So I assure you, you will be hearing from me a few more times at least. For starters, I will explain a situation that happened this weekend with my husband and how listening to your show helped. My husband and I will be married 9 years. My husband is one of the husbands that you mentioned in your Laugh Your Way program that men hate because I am a woman with a stronger sex drive and enjoy having sex with my husband. I can count on one hand how many times he's heard no, and it's been for legitimate reasons, not as an excuse. And she said, you need to tell women that sex actually helps the headache, so quit trying to use it as an excuse. Our pattern for 9 years, she said, has been the following. We have a disagreement or argument. He checks out of our marriage from anywhere from a day to a couple of months. While he's checked out, he pretty much acts like I don't exist from the kitchen to the hallway to the bedroom. Meanwhile, I wallow in emotional self-pity and helplessness. Why won't my husband talk to me? When will our marriage be back to normal? Why can't we be close? Why aren't we having sex? In the past, I have expected him to take the role as the initiator in trying to not appear needy or emotionally pathetic, because, of course, guys hate that. So when my husband responded by withdrawing from our relationship, I would pathetically wait for him to approach me or talk to me or initiate sex or interact with me. However, oddly, that wasn't working because I was still emotionally pathetic. Listening to your show last week has helped me to realize that, one, I allow this to happen. Two, I don't need to be so emotionally pathetic. Three, if I wanted to be different, I need to do something different. So Saturday, we had a disagreement. Things were tense most of the day. He checked out. I kept talking to him like normal instead of avoiding him. He was mad and pouting. It came time for bedtime, and he coldly told me goodnight, grabbed his pillow and blanket, and went to sleep in our boys' room. I was getting ready to take my shower. I said, okay, but I'm going to wake you up to come to our room when I get out of the shower. He grumbled and went to lay down in the boys' room. I took my shower. He fell asleep. I went in and woke him up gently and said, it's time to come to bed. He grumbled. He resisted. I said, we're married, and we're going to act like we're married. He said he'd be there in a few minutes. I lay in our bed and worked a crossword puzzle for 15 minutes, and he didn't come. I got up and went in, gently woke him up again, and said, it's time to come to bed. He grumbled a bit less, got up, and came to bed. Once in bed, he did the same as usual when he checks out and rolled over away from me. Normally, at this point, I would lay there mentally tormenting myself with, why won't he snuggle with me? Why can't we have sex? How long will this last? Instead, I snuggled up to him. I even initiated sex. I have rarely ever initiated sex, even though I have the stronger drive. Go figure. I've always thought I should allow him to make everything happen because he's the man. If I had not listened to your show last week, that would not have happened, and our relationship would probably still be in the pits today. Instead, we had sex, had a better weekend, and so far, a better week. So thank you for helping this emotionally pathetic woman overcome some hurdles and potentially save our marriage.
Wow. Wow.
So that was very good. See?
We helped one person.
We helped one person with your straightforward, right, moronic approach.
We're down to one. Year and a half of radio, we helped one person. Yes!
It's more than that, dear.
Oh, is it more than that?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, that was neat.
That was cool.
You know, it's funny that people, if they know it's going to be like this, how much they let it torture them.
Yeah.
You know, if you know he's going to get all, she did the right thing.
Yeah.
You know,
and she took it upon herself,
she pushed back.
You want to wait?
Instead of sitting there waiting, oh, he's all checked out. Well, that's what he does. When he gets mad, he checks out. Why? I don't even.
And he won't end it. You need to. How long are you going to let it go on?
Exactly. Wow, very good. Cool. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with our final segment right after this.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage. Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this four-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay?
It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, dating, and relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, dating, and relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
You can send your emails to us, and we will, in our insensitive and irreverent way, respond to to your concerns.
Irreverent sophomore. Childlike.
Childlike, foolish nonsense, and responds.
Moronic.
Yes.
There you go.
There you go. Okay.
Question says, is it possible to fix a broken give a damn? At this point, would counseling or therapy or whatever even help? I know that God can do amazing things in people, but for this marriage, I feel all used up. I just don't know if my give a damn can be repaired. So obviously, I had to ask for more information. I said, why? What led up to this? She said, we've been married for 11 years, have 4 children. The marriage started out bad. There you go. I saw red flags, and my low self-esteem caused me to ignore them. I told myself it was better than being alone. He was rather unkind to me, so I never really fell in love with him. Got knocked up, had a courthouse wedding, all the while fighting like cats and dogs. The first few years was filled with emotional and verbal abuse, as well as some physical abuse. We got back into church, and the physical abuse kind of stopped, except that he totally loses his temper, still, apparently. He's never actually hit me, but I've been shoved, grabbed, pushed, etc. At this point, that only happens once or twice a year. He is critical of everything I do, reprimands me, and complains about me in front of the children, especially the way I discipline, or, as of late, the way I am potty training my youngest. Sexually, he has always been selfish, insisting that
fighting over potty training?
Apparently. About the way she's choosing to potty train.
We take potty very seriously in this family.
Yes, you do.
We're going to argue about potty.
Sexually, he has always been selfish, insisting that I wear stockings, garters, and really tall shoes. Also, he brought in sex toys even before we were married. So anyway, she's had pregnancies, and now the sex has become infrequent. She said she has tossed out the toys and the shoes, though. But now for the last year or so...
She insisted that she wears garters
and shoes and stockings.
Hey, baby,
and
come here!
Sex toys.
Da, 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 da.
I don't like the way you potty train, but you got some sexy legs, baby. I will overlook your potty training deficiencies.
So they were having sex before they were married, obviously, because that's where the toys were introduced.
Well, yeah, and
all
she got pregnant before they got married, and that's why they got married and all
and
of that.
All these red flags.
So all this has been going on. But anyway, so now for the last year or so, they've only had sex once every 4 to 5 months.
Wow.
He's very disrespectful towards me, unkind, selfish, lazy, and absolute jerk. I've talked to my priest, she says we are Orthodox Christian, about some of these behaviors, and he has tried to talk to my husband, tried to set up an appointment to discuss this, but the husband just ignores the emails and the phone calls and won't talk to the priest. The husband says we should just pray and fast more, and our hearts will change, therefore our actions towards those around us will change, and that's all we need to do, that it will happen automatically. I say BS. We need to consciously be active in repairing this marriage. I'm done feeling miserable. I'm tired of feeling rejected sexually. I'm sick of being treated like crap.
No, you're not. Man, I can you still tolerate this nonsense? I think some people enjoy being miserable. I think a lot of people aren't happy unless they're not happy.
I believe that to be true.
Oh, what the heck? Come on, lady. Kick him out of the house. Tolerate this kind of nonsense from him shoving you around and starving you out sexually, maybe except for once every 4 months, and acting this way. Obviously, he wants to keep the marriage together, or he wouldn't be talking about things, well, let's just pray and fast more. Mm-hmm. I'm all for praying and fasting more. You don't put up with this nonsense. You don't have to be mean about it. You don't have to be disrespectful about it. You don't have to be nasty about it. You just say, Bobby, you need to move out. Why? Why? Because you refuse to get help, and our marriage is in trouble, and I want to save the marriage. Because you know, she says her give-a-damn's broken, right?
That's what she says.
She doesn't care anymore. All right? That's the problem. Well, you're giving out bracelets. You don't do it. That's why you girls, this happens to you.
Because it was 11 years, and it was bad for
11 years,
the start.
Man. I wouldn't tolerate this for 11 days.
Well, and apparently it was when they were dating.
I don't understand people's tolerance for pain. Thomas, if you guys are having a lousy time, don't put up with this nonsense. Off of your wife don't have sex with you for 6 months, man. You got to confront this head on. God forbid it happens to you. I'm just saying, it's just, you don't just deal with it for 11 years.
Don't get married if you're having those kinds of problems to begin with.
Good grief. No, but if things go wrong, you got to confront it. Don't be afraid of confrontation. Mm-hmm. No one's going to die. You know, sometimes separation is the best thing you can do to try and save the goofy thing. I promise you, he doesn't want anybody to know the problems. The minute that they separate, then the heat's on. Mm-hmm. And he knows, I mean, what's his incentive now? He doesn't have to change. You still mm-hmm. take care of him. You give him sex once every 4 months, whether he needs it or not. Good grief. You still take care of his kids. You still give him the cover. You know, everybody in town knows he's got a wife and kids and everything's fine, a nice home. Kick his butt out. Why you tolerate this? Your give a damn is broken, and you broke it.
11 years is a long time to put up with all that
nonsense.
Yeah, but
see, that's, it's him, and he did this, and he did that, and I'm going to give us that. It's broken because you broke it. You don't put up with this stuff. Yeah. Man, I grab my wife and shove her around. She's German, man. You don't mess with them people. These people try to take over the world twice. That was in the last 100 years. God knows how many times they tried to do it before then. You don't take off a German, for heaven's sakes. Sieg Heil! Good heavens. Most women were having... Your husband knocks you around?
No. No.
Belle Ann, your husband's going to knock you around and you're going to put up with 11 years?
No.
I don't know why you women think you put up with this nonsense. Look, you don't have to scream. You don't have to, in fact, if you make it emotional, you ruin it. As calm and as peaceful and as smiling as you can be, and you make him his favorite meal, and when he's done, say, oh, by the way, I expect you to move out tomorrow.
It's very difficult to do to keep the emotion out, that's for sure.
I'm just saying, the more emotion you do, the more you mess it up.
But that's absolutely true.
And if he won't leave, say, okay, then, or just you, if sometimes it's actually easier to leave than
you
get
would
him to leave.
Leave. Because he'll probably resist. Yeah, Sounds like he's such a...
Yeah, he's a jerk. Say, listen.
Jerk.
Or you know what? If you're afraid he's going to knock you around, you just leave a note for him.
Be back.
And then when he calls, he says, why'd you leave? He says, because A, B, C, D, and E. Well, we're going to work on it. We just have to fast and pray. No, you need to go see the priest. If you're not going to go see the priest, when you're ready to go see the priest, call me and I'll come home. You women have so much power. You have so much, you have no idea. And you've never put it to work. You've never utilized it. Don't tolerate this stuff from these guys. You girls, come on. Now she doesn't care anymore. Well, whose fault is that?
So
it's
can
your
the
fault.
Give a damn actually be repaired?
Absolutely.
Yes, it can.
Well, actually, I don't think it's broken or she wouldn't have sent the email.
That's true.
See you guys tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.